Okay, and welcome back to How to Study the Bible for Yourself. And today, we're actually going to be getting into going further into the topic of how to use a concordance. We've been, and for those of you who were here the last couple presentations, we've been focusing almost exclusively on the Strong's Concordance, talking about the seven different ways of how to use the Strong's Concordance. And went through that, and we kind of talked, it was kind of a general, you know, lecture type presentation. But today, it's going to be fun because we're going to actually be able to do that. Now, I don't know if you've been able to download an app. All iPhone users, let me see your hands. iPhone users, okay, if you look right up in the corner, up on the screen there, that little brown Bible with the white cross there, that's what you want. It says concordance underneath, okay? So go to your app store right now, download that, because that's going to be helpful. For those of you who were here last week, you have in your notes kind of a purple square, okay? A purple square that shows, let me see if I can find it. It says Bible with Strong's, okay? So you can go to the Play Store, the Google Play Store, and just type in Bible and Strong's, and it'll pop right up there. It's a purple box, says Bible with Strong's. Go ahead and download that. And while you're downloading that, I'm just gonna continue on here, because we're going to be running out of time if we don't. Okay. Strong's Concordance, what we're going to do today is we're going to actually apply some of what we learned last time. Okay, the different ways of doing that. And kind of at the conclusion, I want to talk a little bit more about Young's. I kind of alluded to it a little bit, but I never really went into it. And so I gave you a handout that talks about the two primary advantages of Young's outside of Strong's. So, you know, you kind of have to decide for yourself which is going to work best for you. Strong's is strong in certain areas. Young's is good in other areas. And so I'll highlight some of that. And then you can kind of decide for yourself. By the way, there are no electronic applications for Young's. There's only Strong's, which really shows how the world has kind of gone, is that the Strong's is the standard in the Christian community. But Young's is also good too. Okay, so, and then for the second part of our presentation today, the next presentation, we're going to talk about Bible dictionaries, okay? So, having said that, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and let's get going. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness towards us. We thank you that step by step, as we seek to understand the Bible better, Lord, as we are taking steps in widening and broadening our understanding, that each step deeper into the Bible is a step closer to you. And so that's what we're praying today. We're praying that you would enlighten our minds, that all the things in our mind that are opposed to what your Spirit is trying to accomplish, Lord, that you would put that away. And for the next 25 minutes, that you would help us and guide us in our study together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As we mentioned before, one of the primary uses or uses for the Strong's Concordance is to look up Bible texts. Look up Bible texts. Now, because we have all sorts of programs and search programs, you can look this up. In fact, I can go on Google. In fact, I use Google most of the time. I don't even use my Strong's app, because I just type in the phrase and boom, it pops up within the first three or four different hits on Google. So that's actually the preferred way. When I'm not around my computer, I use my E.G. White app, because my Ellen G. White app has a search bar that you can enter, and you can either search in the writings of Ellen White, or you can search in the Bible, and you can put in multiple words. Put in multiple words, and boom, it pops right up. So by putting in multiple words, of course, it narrows it down so that it's easier to find a certain passage. But for many, 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 many years, people didn't have computers. People didn't have, you know, things to, you know, the electronic tools that we have today. And so the old-fashioned way was to look up words. And so we will do a little bit of that. In fact, what we will do is I will show you how to do it. You can do it in the book, but I will also show you here, and thank you, Vinny, for letting me borrow your iPad, because we are going to use the Strong's Concordance on the iPad here. And by the way, the iPad, the Apple software is very similar to the Android software. In fact, so I chose these programs because they are almost identical, and I'll point out some of the differences here. So let's look at that. If you have that worksheet, let's get that out. The Strong's Concordance practice, okay? And the first part of the practice is finding a text. The first text is, "Fear not thou, O my servant Jacob, and be not dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save thee from afar off." Now, as we look at that phrase, we scratch our heads and we say, well, where in the world does that Bible text show up? I don't know right offhand where that Bible text shows up. So, using a Strong's Concordance, we can find where it is. Okay, so I'll click on here. I have the Strong's Concordance up here, and I will look here. It says search by numbers or words. So pick a word. Which word do you think would be a good search word to try to isolate to find this? Okay, you can say Jacob. Let's say J-A-C-O-B. Okay, Jacob has 358 entries. Boy, that's quite a few. I like to try to find something that's less than 50, okay? Because you can really spend a lot of time searching, and the point is not spending time searching. The point is finding it, okay? So let's try and find another word. Find another word. Which one? What about dismayed, okay? D-I-S-M, dismayed, okay? 31 times. Why don't we go with that? Okay, now when you've typed in dismayed, it pops up one time in Deuteronomy, three times in Joshua, one time in Samuel, 1 Samuel, one time in 2 Kings, two times in 1 Chronicles, three times in 2 Chronicles, four times in Isaiah, 11 times in Jeremiah. Wow. Okay, so Ezekiel is two times in Obadiah. So where would you look first? Where do you think? Well, to me, when I'm looking, I say, okay, where is it used the most? So let's go to Jeremiah, okay? So Jeremiah. Click on Jeremiah, and it pops up every encounter. So do you see it there? Scroll down here. Okay, Jeremiah 23, verse 4. Oh, look at there. Jeremiah 30, verse 10. "Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return and be in rest and be in quiet, and none shall make him afraid." Now, I can do the same thing. I showed you how to do it here on the iPad, but I can do the same thing with the book. I look up the word. It just takes a few more flipping, maybe a few more words, a few more minutes here. But dismayed, I can look it up here. D. Just like using a dictionary, right? D-I-S-M. Okay, dismayed. And there it is. Right down here, all the way down. It lists everything. And I go down and I flip down and I can just read off each thing. And there it is, Jeremiah 30, verse 10. And it just has a little phrase there. It says, "Neither be dismayed, O Israel." So it doesn't give you the full text like you get in the electronic version. So again, you can find it, It's there. It's available. If you prefer a hard copy, this will work. Okay, what about number two? Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Isn't that just a lovely verse? It tells us that difficult times are going to come. If we're going to be faithful to Jesus, you just count on it that somebody's not going to be happy, especially the devil. Okay? So all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, where do you find that? Okay, well, let's go and which word are we going to look for? Remember, we're looking for a word that is unique, a word that isn't used very much. So which one do you want to look under? Yeah, absolutely. P-E-R-S-E. Now notice, as I'm typing this in, it automatically starts narrowing it down. So persecution, let's see if I can get it. C-U. Okay. Okay, persecution. There it is. One time in Lamentations, one time in Matthew, one time in Mark, three times in Acts, one time in Romans, two times in Galatians, and one time in 2 Timothy. So where do you think? Where do you want to look? Acts? Okay, three times in Acts. Well, okay, do you see it there? And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at the same time there was a great persecution against the church. No, that's not it. Acts 11:19, and now they that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose. No, that's not it. Acts 13:50, and the chief men of the city and raised a persecution against Paul and Barnabas. So it's not in Acts. Somebody said 2 Timothy. Okay, so let's go to 2 Timothy. Ah, there it is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you have the program, you can look it up very quickly. You just need to pick that key word where it's going to narrow it down. So I do use this program. It largely depends what's closest at hand, because I'm not looking to spend a lot of time searching. Okay? Okay, how about the third one? Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Okay, which one? Which word? Judgments? Okay, let's try judgments. J-U-D-G-E-M-E-N. Judgments, 127. Let's pick another one, okay? Endureth. That might be a good one. E-N-D-U-R. Endureth 59 times. Okay, we can try that. That's pretty close. Let's see if we can get it even better. How about beginning? Okay, Oh, no, that doesn't work. Sorry, I led you down the wrong path. Okay, beginning. Okay, let's go with endureth. I think that might be our best bet. E-N-D-U-R-E-T-H. Endureth, 59 times. Okay, so where do you think, where are we going to look? I have it under, but this is the King James. So remember, when you're using the Strong's Concordance is based on the King James. So if you have another version of the Bible, that's fine. But remember, it's keyed off of the King James Bible. So that's very important to remember. Okay, Psalms. Let's try Psalms. What do we got here? There it is. Psalms 119, verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Okay? So that's how we use the Strong's Concordance, both electronic as well as the hard copy, for looking up a text which we remember, but we don't know where it's found. Okay, let's look at number two. Practice a word. This is doing a topical study. Okay, sometimes when we have an English topic, it's based upon an English word. There could be many different words in the original language, and so we're doing a word. It could be on death. It could be on the Sabbath. It could be on the sanctuary. It could be on a large, many different numbers of topics. So let's look at this. Let's look at the word just. And just for interest's sake, I'm going to go here and I'm going to type in the word just. Okay, J-U-S-T. Actually, I take that back. I remember doing this last night and it kind of backfired on me, so I'm gonna go in here. I'm gonna look it up in here, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. Just. The word just. Okay, so you look up the word just. Okay, J-U-S-T. And what you want to do, and this just is the root word for justice. So let's say you want to understand the justice of God, that aspect of God's character, the justice of God. So just, of course, is a word that is at the root of this. So let's look at this, number 6662. This is in the Old Testament, so that's Hebrew, right? So the 6662, 6664, 6663. I'm just looking down here. Oh, there's a 4941. So you write down these numbers, and then when you write down those numbers under that word, then you can go and start to do your investigation. Are you following what I'm talking about? 6663, this is under just. Okay, so what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to study the concept of justice, or what does it mean to be just, you know? And so what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to study this topic of justice or acting in a just way, and we're wanting to write down the words, all the words in the original language that are translated as just. Are you following me? So what we're going to do is we're going to take a piece of paper and we're going to write these things down before we even look them up, because we can always... If you write them down on a piece of paper, then you can flip very quickly through the dictionary and you can look those different words up. So the words are the Hebrew words are H6662, 6663, 6664. And then notice, what is it? Proverbs 16:11 has a 4941. Yes, somebody picked that one up. 8003. Proverbs 29 verse 10 is 3477. So, and then you get to the New Testament. Then you write down in the New Testament, which is Greek, you have 1342. What else? 1738. Looks like that's about it. So there's more Hebrew words for the word just. So then we can start to do our investigation in that way, and we can look up each one of those words. So this is where you're going to be using this to study a whole topic. This is a broad topic, okay? Like the sanctuary. Well, the sanctuary can have lots of words. In fact, lots of concepts. Sanctuary is a very broad topic. You know, you can study everything from the altar of incense to the candlesticks to the Day of Atonement to, you know, the high priest and what he wears to the ceremonies to you name it. So, but there's lots of different words that are used in this. So that's number two. Look up a specific topic and write down all of the Greek and the Hebrew words that are for that specific topic. Okay, number three is look up words in a dictionary. In other words, let's take, for instance, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. The word trust, well, what is that word trust? Let's suppose we are studying that word. Okay, how do we find it? Well, you can take your book and you can look up the word trust, you know, and that's back in the T's. So you look up T's and then you go down T's. Once you find trust, then you go down the list of trust until you get to Proverbs 3, verse 5. And then you travel all the way across to the right where that number is. And that number shows 982. And because it's not in italics, it is Old Testament. Of course, we knew that Proverbs in the Old Testament. So you look back in the back under the Hebrew words, 982, and that is the word batak. Okay? So I'm going to do it here. Did everyone follow? I hope so. Okay, so let's look it up here. So you just type it up here, T-R-U-S-T, trust, shows 134 entrances. But and it shows where they all are, but we're going to go specifically to Proverbs, because remember, for each English word, you could have multiple Greek or Hebrew words. We want specifically the word that is used in Proverbs 3, verse 5. Now look at that. Proverbs 3, verse 5 is H982. You see that up there? H982, that is the word trust, and so you just click on that, and look at that, comes right up there, batak. The definition is a primitive root. Now, what does it mean when it says primitive root? A primitive root means, well, primitive means basic, right? It's very primitive. When I say we're wearing very primitive clothing, there's not much there, right? It's very basic. Okay, a primitive root. So when you talk about languages, sometimes words are built on other words. And so you trace back the etymology down to the base of the language. And so when you get down to the root language, that is what we call the primitive root. So batak, it doesn't go lower than that. So this word is a primitive root, properly to high, H-I-E. By the way, question, what does high mean? I didn't know. I didn't even know that this was an English word. So if you're ever playing Bananagrams with Tasia, make sure and use this word, because she probably won't. But she's the queen. Don't ever take on Tasia. She'll crush everyone. She is incredible. Okay, high means to move quickly toward. Okay, or to move quickly toward. To high for refuge, but not so precipitately, is that how you pronounce it, as H2620. Figuratively, to trust, to be confident or sure, to be bold, to be secure, to be sure, to be careless, like a careless one or a careless woman, put confidence or to make to hope or put trust, or to make to trust. Okay, so, and then you see down in the bottom of that definition, you have the KJV usage. How many times is it used in the King James? Is it translated as trust? How many times is it translated as confidence and secure? That's important to know too, because sometimes you wonder, well, how is it translated? What is it predominantly translated? And that is very helpful so that we make sure that we're not mistranslating the word. Okay, so that is how we look up words. So any word in your study that you're using can be looked up. It's very easy to look up a word. And so suppose you want to say, well, I want to look up that word. Well, just whip out your iPhone or your iPad or your book. If you have the book, you can look it up, And it just takes a few minutes, and then you can look and see what the actual language is, okay? And sometimes there are gems. There are real gems in this in these definitions. So make sure and do that, okay? All right. Practice number four is discover how many times a word is used in the original language. Now, if you just stay right there in H 982, you can see right there occurs in 120 times in the Bible in 117 different verses. So usually the occurrences is more than the verses. Why? Well, because sometimes you can have it show up twice in one verse. And so that's something to pay attention to as well. But 120 times. So it's a fairly common word. Okay? Now, Roman numeral number 5, discover where the specific word trust, or H 982, is used. So you say, well, okay, now that I know what that word means, where is it used? Now, this is where you really would need a Young's Concordance if you're going to do this in a book. So at this point in time, you can do it with a Strong's, but you have to basically go down each line entry and find wherever that number shows up. Young's automatically separates it for you, but Strong's doesn't. So you would have to, you can do it with the Strong's Concordance with a book, but you just have to write down all the different passages in order, and you can do it that way. But if you have your electronic version here with the, you can just look it up. Now, you go to the search bar and you just type in, okay, 982, and then it shows, well, is it H982 or is it G982? And of course, it's H982 because this is Hebrew. We're still with the Old Testament Hebrew. And notice what shows up. It shows up now when you put in that H982. It shows up every location. It shows up 8 times in 2 Kings and 1 time in 1 Chronicles and 2 times. 1 time in 2 Chronicles and 4 times in Job and 45 times in Psalms. Notice it really jumps up there. Why do you think that trust is an issue with David? David was often running for his life, wasn't he? David was constantly running for his life, and you know, he had to very quickly, there was an issue of trust. Who do I trust? You know, who can I trust in a situation where somebody's out to kill you? It becomes a very serious thing. And I've noticed that other words show up in the book of Psalms a lot too. You know, words like shield and fortress and strength, and those words show up very, very prominently in the book of Psalms. Okay? So by looking and identifying where a word is used, sometimes it is used a lot in one specific part of the Bible. That's something that we need to key into, something that we need to pay attention to, okay? Pay attention to. Okay, all right, and then finally, we can use the Strong's Concordance to find the root, of a word. As we were talking, you know, language is sometimes built upon other words. Words can be built on other words. And so let's look up 998, H998. So I'm going to back out of here. Okay, 998. We're going to click on that. Now notice here, this is the word binah from H995, which means understanding. And it's translated as understanding, knowledge, meaning perfectly, to understand perfectly, understanding, wisdom, and so on and so forth. So it says it's from H995. So, as good investigators, we say, well, what is H995? So, you go back to H995. And you click on that, H995. It says a primitive root. Okay, now we're at the bedrock. We're down at the bottom, okay? to separate mentally or distinguish. That is generally understand. So this is the process of mentally separating things and distinguishing in our minds. Okay? So understanding, whenever it talks about understanding, that is the essence of that. Okay? And then we can read and see how it is used within the scriptures. Now, as I promised, if you turn a page, you'll see how to use this Young's Concordance. And I want to finish with this because we're just about done here with this presentation here. But the Young's Concordance is a fascinating tool. I never really looked into it much because it was because I was just so used to using Strong's. But the Young's Concordance was written by Robert Young about 10 years before James Strong wrote his Concordance, which of course eclipsed everything else. But there are two primary differences that Robert Young came up with in his Concordance. Number one was that instead, there are some similarities. Number one is that he lists, just like James Strong, he lists all of the words in order, alphabetical order. So if you're looking up a word, you'll find it much the same way that you will with a Strong. You just have to look up that specific word, and then it's listed there. But there are some key differences. Number one, he doesn't include all of the ands, buts, as, thes, and all of those words that we would never really use anyways. Okay, James Strong was so meticulous, punctilious, is that the word? Punctilious, that he added everything, and I mean everything. And but nobody uses that. So James, Robert Young said, hey, you know, I'm not going to waste my time. And so he just put in the keywords, but it's still a very, very good resource. Now, what the primary difference is that under each English word, he then takes the specific Hebrew words and then the Greek words, and under each one of those subcategories, he'll put the different passages in order, starting with Genesis all the way to Revelation. So what this does is this essentially does the same thing that your computer program does by looking up that specific word. It lists all of the passages where that specific word in the original language shows up. It lists it in order. This does it in a paperback version, which is very helpful. Now, there is one more thing, and I found this fascinating. You know, when I was in school, they taught us Hebrew. And I can still remember taking Hebrew in Alden Thompson's class there in Walla Walla College, and we used to rap the Hebrew alphabet. It was very unique, okay? And I'll spare you from listening to the Hebrew alphabet rapped. But anyways, when it comes to the verbs, Hebrew is a verbal language. And in fact, in parts of the Hebrew literature, like the Tanakh, that they can actually have sentences with as many as three verbs in one sentence. Now, I'd like to see English try to use three verbs in one sentence. It's a very interesting thing, but there are seven different verbal types, and I'll list them here. They are the kal, the nifal, the pl, the pual, the hifil, the hofal, and the hitpael. I see you kind of glazed over a little bit with me. But the good news is that what Robert Young has done is he has simplified it. And what he says is that for each one of these verbal forms, there is a specific way, in general, of translating it. So, and I have it listed in your notes, the kal, in general, this is very broadly, is translated as an active. Okay, the nifal is translated as a passive. So if I were to, if the word, the verb is in the kal, it is, and the word is hit, it, I would translate it as I hit or he hit. Okay, depending on how it's translated, the nifal is a passive. Okay? A passive. That means that it happened to me, right? So I was hit, or he was hit. Okay? It's a passive. The action is not something that you do, it happens to you, the nifal. The PL is an intensity. It is an intensive. So instead of break, it is smash. I smash. You know, I smash the bowl or something like that. Whereas the pu'al is an intensive passive. So the bowl was smashed, or he was destroyed. He was obliterated. Okay, so that's an intensity. There's an intensity there. The hifil is a causative. I cause certain something or other to happen, okay? The hofal is a causative passive. So he made it to happen in this way. He caused it to occur, okay? And then the hitpael, which is interesting, is a reflexive. So a reflexive is something that you do to yourself. It's kind of like a boomerang. You're acting upon it, but then it comes back upon you. You do it in your behalf. Okay? So now notice this, and this is a quote here from the Young's Concordance. It says, What Young has done is he's taken each of these seven forms and he's numbered them 1 through 7. So the kal is number 1, the nifal is number 2, the pl is 3, pu'al is 4, hifil is 5, and hofal is 6, and hitpael is 7. Now notice what he says here. Thus numbers 1, 3, 5 are active, number 2, 4, and 6 are passive, and number 7 is reflexive. So that if katal in the first conjugation is he killed, the second was he was killed. That he was killed, the third is he was killed violently. The fourth was he was killed violently. The fifth was he caused to kill. Number sixth was he was caused to kill. Okay, yeah, he was caused to kill. And then the seventh was he killed himself. Though many exceptions are found, and the general formula holds good very distinctly. So what he's saying is that he's identified these seven verbal forms. So when you're looking through here and you come across a verb, a specific verb, let's see if I can find an example here. It has a number by it. Okay, so here under have, to have, is right here under number 9, it has a 2 there. That means that is that verbal form, which is a nifal. And so if you really want to get into some fun parts of the language, you can use the Young's Concordance, and you don't have to take all the Hebrew that goes along with it. And again, these are kind of in broad strokes, but it's kind of a fun way to use it, okay? So hopefully that is helpful to you. And in our next presentation, we'll talk about how to use a Bible dictionary. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for helping us through this process, and continue to guide us as we move forward in our understanding. We pray this in your name. Amen.